Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us, Jr. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. The MAU Mima, Delaney Bowers, will be joining us here soon. What a pleasure it is to be back here with you all. The holidays are over, New Year's is behind us, and we have a fresh year and a long winter ahead of us. But have no fear, we have plenty of spooky stories to keep you warm through the storm. And to kick us off tonight, we begin in the state of Colorado, where Weston is waiting to get us started.
Monster Junior Weston from Colorado. So I was in my bed and I woke up in the middle of the night and there was like this weird black, it was this black and it had like orange, red, fiery eyes, and it went right in the middle of my door and stopped and started looking at me for like 5 or 10 seconds, and then it went away past my door. I saw it come back through my door again, and then like a couple of seconds later I was still awake, and then this like weird black mist like came by the, it was like a black mist, and it went straight by my door on each side, and it met in the middle of the door. Thanks, I love your podcast. And that was my story.
Thank you, Weston. Now, why do all these dark or black creatures have red or fiery eyes? What's the deal with that? Perhaps it's to help them see in the dark. Maybe it's meant to intimidate those that are unlucky enough to see it. Or is this some sort of reflection? Or is this detail a hint that whatever this thing is, it's up to no good? Whatever the reason, whatever this thing was, we can't thank you enough, Weston, for taking the time to share the encounter here with us. Thanks again for calling in. Now, kiddos, I have one more story to share with you before I hand the reins off to the MAU Mima herself. So, from the wilds of Oregon, please welcome Logan to tonight's program.
Hi, I'm Logan. I live in Oregon along the Willamette River, and I believe I have been in multiple encounters with the same creature. I'm saying their name, W-E-N-D-I-G-O. I call them Wendy's. Well, it all started about 4 years ago. Since I'm 17, I was around 14, 13 years old. It was a summer night, nothing really going on. I was on my phone during the morning. Yeah, I live in the middle of nowhere, no neighbors within 30-minute radius. And I hear a little girl's voice outside my window. I live in this two-story house, an old farmhouse passed down through our family for generations. And then the little girl's echoey voice kept saying, "Hello." It sounded like it was mimicking my little sister, who was 4 at the time. It was very strange. And then for months on, it kept happening over and over. I started smelling rotting flesh from my open window, which was odd. Dying cat sounds were coming from outside in the backyard near my window. And I know every sound our cats make, so it wasn't a feral cat. And my sister also started hearing it as well. And then during around that time, closer in December, our rabbits started dying. We had 2 rabbits. One died of unknown reasons. It just was dead. And the second one was killed, but it was an outside rabbit, so like no one was around. It was killed, and it was placed back into its cage. My parents did not know what happened. They weren't home at the time either. So a dead rabbit was placed in its cage, and my goat started acting up. I own goats. She was 4 years old at the time. She never acted like this before around coyotes or cougars or anything, but she would stare into the tree line, and it was really strange. And then I'd randomly find strange dead animals or scratches along trees and whatnot. And eventually it would come back up to my window and speak to me. It was really odd. I didn't know what was going on. I became really paranoid hearing the creature, whatever it was, speak to me and call out my name and try to lure me outside and then proceed to do the same to my sisters. I got so scared that I tried protecting myself. I put up Native American signs, and I hung dream catchers, and I took up Wicca, so I'm a pagan now, and my new religion helps me protect myself. And this is one of many stories that happened here. It's an old land, it's been here since the pioneers, and old town, Native American history, that's for sure. and lots of spirits, lots of spirits, shadow people in my room. I don't know how to feel about this. I'm still 17. Things still happen. My parents don't believe me, but my siblings, they all experience these things too, and cousins and relatives. They've all experienced them. My friends have seen things, and they've heard this thing too. It was trying to lure my sister out one night, but I luckily got to her first before she could actually do anything. I don't know. It still haunts me every day. And at night, it's worse at night. I can't go downstairs. I feel like something's watching me from the windows. I can't go outside. I'm constantly feeling like something's following me. I always hear things at night because of it. I don't feel alone anymore. Every time I go out for a walk, I'm not alone. Something's following me. It knows what I am, and it's trying to get at me. Sometimes I'll still smell that rotting corpse smell nearby. I don't know what's going on, so I always carry incense around me or something I can use to bless the area I'm around. And maybe it's due to the fact that it's a Native American creature and we do live along Native American land. We find all sorts of artifacts, and actually the founder of our town lived on this land, and he married many Native American women. So lots of history, lots of fear. Every day I find something new. Every day I'm scared to go outside in the woods or anywhere. Parents have experienced at least paranormal activity, but they haven't experienced anything like I have at a high level. And my family members, like my uncles, and they live in this room too, they experience odd things as well. They have reoccurring dreams of the same creature. And it happened for years and years and years. And it's just escalated. It's all connected with many things too, like a spirit, like a guy died in our home before our families ever owned it. His name is Thomas Knight. I believe he actually plagued me for years in a shadow form. At the end of my bed, he would watch me at night. There's actually a spirit boy who lives in my room as well from a long time ago. He doesn't remember his name. Did come in contact with him, surprisingly. I don't know how. Just started speaking to me. And so his name is Bunny now. We have two workers who died who actually haunt the camp. A lot of our cherry pickers have noticed him, and both of them. Very odd. All sorts of weird things. We had a cougar on our property. I named her after our town, Jervis, or Gervais. She went missing randomly. Like, she'd normally be around, chilling, and then just vanished. She vanished. No one knew where she went. The goats, they've been acting up, and started with one goat, and she stared at the tree line, and then it happened with the second goat. She stared at the tree line, and I tried to push them away, get them to come back inside to their main pen, but every time I pushed her away, she'd go back and stare at the tree line. She'd just stare. And then on Christmas Eve, I heard a scream that was similar to a human, but not a human. And it sounded like a cougar, but it wasn't a cougar. And I didn't know what was happening. And honestly, I don't know how long I'll be here. I'm hoping I'll be able to move out soon. I'm tired of these experiences. It's terrifying. I can't sleep at night. Now I'm terrified of the dark. A kid my age should not be terrified of the dark. I'm scared he'll come back and try talking to me. I'm scared that if I turn my lights off, things will start appearing in my room again, and the hands, didn't mention this, but the hands, shadow hands, would appear from behind my head once more. This house is over 100 years old. It's been remodeled so many times. I don't know. I wanted to call somebody to help clear it, so I've been trying my best. I'm still a young witch. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do. Could have been an overactive mind of a teenager, but all of this has been very real. Very terrifying, very uncomfortable. And I'm not really one to make stories up, but this is nothing I've ever would dream of making up. I didn't even know what any of these were until I moved into this house and things started happening to me and I had to do my own research because no one was believing me. So I started at age 10 and then it's gone throughout 7 years of living here. I just hope you can make some sense of this. I can't. Thank you for your time. I hope you enjoyed the rambling story. Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Now, Logan mentioned a creature named the Wendigo, or sometimes called the Windigo. So let's start there. And to fill us in on exactly what the Wendigo is, here is a clip from a series that I absolutely love. Monstrum, from PBS.
The Windigo legend originates with indigenous people who belong to the Algonquian language family. They say it's a giant humanoid cannibal who can move at an incredibly fast speed. The Windigo is astonishingly tall, with razor-sharp teeth and claws, and lips that are often chewed ragged or gone completely. They have a heart made of ice. And despite their unending hunger for human flesh, they remain emaciated. It shrieks and can run across treetops, and its presence may be preceded by a foul odor or a sudden snowstorm. Almost all Wendigos begin as humans, and once transformed, it has no gender. But how does one become a Wendigo? The most common way is by eating human flesh, but there are others, including dreaming of the Wendigo. It is also believed that you can become a Wendigo without physically transforming.
Now I hope you've since moved from your home, Logan. If that activity was as bad as you say it was, that's probably the best thing that you can do. Or at the very least, I hope the activity has stopped for you. Whatever is haunting you up there, Logan, we thank you for sharing the details here with us. And believe me when I say, I hope it gets better for you.
It's gonna be now.
They had themselves quite a 3-point party.
Keep it real.
Answers all the time.
Are always looking up.
Now, kiddos, that's all the time I have here this evening. But there's still plenty of spooky left tonight. And I leave you in very capable hands. So if you would, please welcome my partner in crime, Miss Delaney Bowers.
Thanks for sharing the mic, Derek Hayes. It's always appreciated. Well, Frosty friends, if you're located in the Northern Hemisphere, we are stuck in one of the more gloomy months of the year. Now don't get me wrong, I love January. It's your meemaw's birthday month, I'll be 103 this year, but there's not a whole lot of color when I look out my window. So here to remedy that is a good friend of the show, Colby, from England.
Hello, my name is Colby, and I've called in before, I think it was yesterday, and it happened to me about 2 weeks ago. I can't remember actually when. I was walking down the old way in Hemingborough, because that's where I'm from, and I look down, I look up again, and there's a woman wearing a blue dress, black hair covering her face. And I look down again, look up again, and she's gone. Thank you. Bye.
A ghostly figure of a woman in a blue dress and black hair? Just the pop of color we needed. But Colby, I may have found something. Now, a brief warning. To my American ears, I heard that you live in the small parish of Hanborough in southeast England. And so that's what my research is based on. And when I thumbed through some of my oldest and dustiest manuscripts, I came across the sad story of Jane Sculpepper. Jane Sculpepper lived in Church Hanborough in the 1600s, and according to local folklore, Jane drowned in the pond at the old rectory nearby. Nobody can say for certain whether or not her death was an accident, but she is said to still haunt the old footpath between Church Hanborough and the neighboring village of Ensham. In fact, on one occasion, two farmers witnessed Jane on the path and reported that her dress was soaked all the way through and that her long, wet hair hung in front of her face. So, Colby, could this be the apparition you saw? Who's to say? But perhaps the next time you trek along the old way, consider bringing along a towel. Thanks for calling in. All right, listeners, it's your time to shine. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share with us, give our hotline a ring at 1-833-MAU-KIDS. That's 1-833-MAU-KIDS. Or send a voice memo to monstersamonguss.jr@gmail.com. Remember, call from a quiet location, keep your call under 2 minutes, and be sure to get your parent or guardian's permission before calling in. And wouldn't you know it, we've reached our final call of the evening. And to make sure we go out with a bang, or maybe a flick, is our new pal Ivan, from the frigid climes of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Ivan from Minneapolis, and I have a little bit of a ghost story for you. So I woke up around 6 a.m. or something like that, and I went to the bathroom. And my dad told me to turn off the light, and I did. But then when I looked back, it was on. So, and then it did that again, and then it happened again. Bye.
Ivan, my love for a trickster ghost is only rivaled by my love for a bathroom ghost. I will never not laugh at a bathroom ghost. And while I'm tempted to suggest that this experience could be a result of faulty wiring in your bathroom's electrical socket, I'm not entirely convinced, especially since there's a long and storied history of ghosts saying boo while you're in the loo. In fact, petrifying potties are so popular that they're often featured in scary movies. Tropes like monsters hiding behind shower curtains, blood pouring from the faucet, or ghosts popping up in bathroom mirrors are all too common. Plus, you know, Skibbity Toilet belongs in there somewhere, I think. And because bathrooms are where we do our most private business, where we are at our most vulnerable, it sort of makes sense that spirits might take advantage of that to give us a little scare. If you don't believe me, I provided links in tonight's show notes to the most haunted bathrooms in the United States and the most haunted toilets around the world. Be sure to let us know if you've ever visited one. Thanks for sharing your story, Ivan. And on that note, I've got to run to the store to get some more catnip for my ABC. We'll be back soon with another episode of MAU Junior, but until then, happy hauntings, hooligans. Monsters Among Us Junior is written and produced by Derek Hayes and Delaney Bowers. Copyright, Red Crow Media. Additional support provided by Sarah Carter Hayes. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.ag Music, and Mayu. And lastly, the MAU Junior theme was written and produced by Ali Mamarian.